Welcome to the NACODE podcast. Join us as we bring you stories of innovation in counties across the country, cover local government best practices, and provide updates on the issues critical to local government. The National Association of Counties is your resource in fostering healthy, vibrant, safe, and resilient counties across America.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of NACO Podcast. This is Jack Morgan, a program manager here at NACO in Community and Economic Development. Today's podcast will focus on economic transition and diversification in counties and regions that have been historically reliant on coal as a primary economic engine for generations. Due to the recent downturn in the coal industry, these communities are facing significant challenges and uncertainty, and many are pursuing ways to strengthen local economies. I'm also joined here today with Kathy Nostein, Community and Economic Development Program Director here at NACO. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Jack. In 2014, the National Association of Counties set out to support those places experiencing economic challenges related to the fluctuations of the coal industry. We found that coal-producing counties and regions represent a significant portion of the population and economic output of many parts of the U.S. Communities that have been dependent upon the coal industry for generations have felt the cyclical peaks and valleys of this industry for decades. Coupled with long-term economic, social, and environmental challenges, including things like the complexities of generational poverty and the geographic constraints inherent to more rural and isolated places, we found that the challenges that these communities face are only compounded by more recent downturns. And this applies to communities that are not just coal producing, but are linked with the industry, such as those home to coal-fired power plants or coal processing facilities, which really stretches to many diverse parts of the country. So NACO formed a partnership with the U.S. Economic Development Administration and the National Association of Development Organizations Research Foundation to create avenues to support county and regional leaders seeking to grow their economies and create jobs. The goal here was to boost the innovative potential of places that have been largely dependent on a single industry or just a few major employers with charting new paths to prosperity, recognizing the benefits that can come from creating a diversified approach to economic development that brings in a number of different partners and draws upon local assets. We launched the Innovation Challenge for Coal-Reliant Communities as a prize competition for counties and regions to access training and technical assistance to create place-based strategies to economic resilience. We held three rounds of the Innovation Challenge, the centerpiece of which was a series of team-based training workshops in Kentucky, Colorado, and West Virginia. In total, 42 counties and 18 regional economic development districts worked together at these events, along with local officials, workforce development experts, business and civic leaders, and other community stakeholders to share ideas, develop plans and projects specific to their challenges.
Today, we will hear leaders from several counties and regions that participated in the Innovation Challenge describe some of their strategies being implemented to grow and diversify local and regional economies. But first, let's hear from the speakers from the Innovation Challenge workshops share their expertise and best practice models for communities. Eric Pages, president of EntreWorks Consulting, has spent years working in economic development and diversification in communities throughout the country.
Clearly, economic diversity is a core part of a community's resilience. And here we mean, you know, its ability to survive various industry ups and downs. And, you know, the interesting thing is we know that industry diversity matters a lot. Now, there's not any magic formula that says, well, you should have 20% in this, 15% in that. But we do know that being dependent too much on one industry or one kind of company can be particularly dangerous. We need to look no further than a place like Detroit, of course, that was successful but had, you know, heavy reliance on the automobile industry. And when the auto industry was doing well, Detroit did well and vice versa. And we see a similar situation in many coal communities, particularly if you look in the central part of Appalachia and West Virginia and Kentucky. Some other research that we've done for the Appalachian Regional Commission shows that these communities are among the least economically diverse of any in the entire United States. So they're highly dependent on a very small number of industries. And so as we can see now, with the decline of the coal industry, this heavy dependence on a single industry or a handful of industries can have really negative economic consequences. So promoting economic diversification and economic diversity in your community makes a lot of sense. It would make sense even if the coal industry was booming. And so looking to have a more resilient economy that's based on a number of different industries, that's based on small businesses, large businesses, medium-sized businesses, makes sense. And just a very interesting dynamic about this, think about the town of Cupertino in California, right in the heart of Silicon Valley. Cupertino is well known because it's the headquarters of Apple. And frankly, there's probably no business in the world at this point that's doing better than Apple. Yet even Cupertino, California, in the midst of all this prosperity, in the midst of all this success, thanks to its being the headquarters of Apple, is involved in developing an economic diversification strategy. So they get it. So it makes sense to start thinking about, you know, what are alternative economic futures for that community right now. That's the process that the communities in the Coal Innovation Challenge were going through.
Eric worked with NACO and NATO staff to plan and facilitate the three Coal-Reliant Community Innovation Challenge workshops.
Well, I think that the model of the Coal Innovation Challenge is a really good one. Oftentimes, it can be very challenging for an elected official or an economic development professional to kind of step away from that and get a wider perspective on what's happening in their community. And that's really, I think, the secret sauce of the Innovation Challenge model, is that this takes people away from their communities, but it puts them together with communities that are facing similar challenges. So it's almost a mini support group, if you will. People come there, they learn good ideas, they hear what's happening in other communities. But I think it's also extremely important for just them to see that they are not alone, that there are many other communities that are in the same boat as them, and not just coal communities. And this is something that we talked about a great deal during the Innovation Challenges. The challenges that are facing coal communities now with the decline of the coal industry are really no different from what many other communities around the United States have faced, those that have faced declines in steel, in the automotive industry, a military base closure, declines in textile and furniture manufacturing. When you lose an economic anchor, that means economic pain in your community. So getting an ability to learn about these other kinds of opportunities and how other communities dealt with this challenge, that's also an invaluable part of the Innovation Challenge process.
Eric Page has shared some of the common strategy themes he identified from the workshops.
Well, I think there were a couple things that jumped out. And of course, all of these communities are facing widely differing kinds of circumstances. But I did see that there was a lot of interest in building on assets that already exist in many of these communities. So instead of saying, well, we need to go out and recruit a plant to come in and replace the lost jobs, they looked deeply at what was happening in their community and they said, what are economic opportunities that we have already existing in this community? And I'll just highlight one example, tourism. Many of these communities are located in rural areas that just have gorgeous scenery and gorgeous tourism-based amenities. Developing strategies to build on those tourism assets is a strategy that many communities decided to go back and focus on. And I think it makes really good sense. And there's lots of good examples of communities that have done so. A second thing that I thought was very interesting, and this is something we're seeing across the world of economic development now, is much closer collaboration between the workforce world and the economic development world. Because we know in economic development nowadays, the place with the most talent is going to be the most successful. So it's not about your location, it's necessarily only about your location. It's not about the fact that you're near the coal mines or whatever the past location advantages were. Today, the key location advantage is to have a talented and skilled workforce that employers demand. And so many of the communities were also focused on how do we build a workforce that's going to be more successful and provide good career options for local people.
It's going to be retraining and diversification of the workforce we currently have, whether that be focusing on, you know, some of these tourism initiatives, more comprehensive workforce development, because again, you're talking about a labor force of 4,000 to 5,000 people. Let's quit saying we have all these unemployed coal miners, and let's change the tune and start saying we have employable engineers, electricians, supervisors, people that are trained in high technology type applications already that they've been utilizing in deep mines and surface mines. We have to change that perception. Let's say we have trained engineers, electricians, etc. Then that also falls back to the one thing Southwest Virginia has always had: some of the hardest, most loyal workers in total workforce I've ever been privileged to be around.
That's Dwayne Miller, the Deputy Director of Lenawisco Planning District Commission, representing the Wise County, Virginia team that participated in the first Innovation Challenge held in Pikeville, Kentucky. Wise County is located in the coalfields of Southwest Virginia, a region that has experienced drastic impacts related to the coal industry decline. However, county and regional partners, including a county supervisor and stakeholders in both higher education and outdoor recreation, developed a unique strategy for diversification. One specific aspect of their strategy, developed after the Innovation Challenge, focuses on unmanned aerial vehicles, or more commonly known as drones. This strategy was inspired by a retraining model in coding used by Pikeville company BitSource, which was presented at the Innovation Challenge.
What kind of niche do we have here in Southwest Virginia that nobody else has? And that's where we kind of lean to the drone, unmanned aerial systems development as kind of a cutting edge thing to focus on. We're one of seven areas in the United States where the FAA is actually given approval for research and development type flights to be utilized. So we came back and we pretty much copied for breeding the articles and everything else that the Pikeville Coding Group has done. We kind of followed their model as much as we could, engaged our local community college, and have them now. They have started a program, an entry-level drone class. Now, some people may say, and I was one of those people who said, drones, this is just something that just flies around. It's a toy my kids play with. But there's a whole realm out there of applications and jobs that come from the utilization of drones, whether that be as pilots, software developers. Then you also fall into the actual manufacturing of drones. That's something else. When I talked about we have this skilled workforce out there that's done a lot of hands-on application stuff as coal miners, it's something that you can retrain that type of workforce to do. One thing we learned when we started talking to displaced coal miners, some said, I'd like to go get a four-year degree, but the large number of people we spoke with said, I'm interested in retraining, but I don't have a lot of time, and it's something that I would have to, I need to have a job. So we all kind of came up with a retraining period of about 6 months. Well, lo and behold, most of this drone technology training we've been able to look at, you can train these people in 6 months. So, again, Mount Empire Community College is partnered. They received some money through ARC to do the first phase of a project, and it's underway now. I think they have about 25 or 26 students that are in that class. We've actually been put into communication and had several conference calls with Fortune 500 companies, as shocking as that is, and it's been wonderful to talk about drone technology. And some of it is indirect conversation. Some of these companies actually may not be in the drone business per se, but drones can benefit them, so they are on their radar. And they're very curious about the technology and the development of the technology. So we're just continuing to do that. And again, a lot of that generated from our participation in the Innovative Challenge workshop in Pikeville was something else there. We're not pigeonholed to where we just have to do development of this UAV stuff. Maybe there's something else. We don't need to be limited by just one thing.
Like Southwest Virginia, Eastern Kentucky is certainly a region that has struggled immensely from the decline of the coal industry. The Kentucky Highlands Promise Zone, a partnership between the Kentucky Highlands Investment Corporation and eight counties in southeastern Kentucky, was designated in 2014 by President Barack Obama as the first and only rural promise zone in the nation. With this designation, the partners will engage communities in a collaborative, comprehensive process aimed at improving the overall quality of life in the region. Harlan County, one of the eight counties in the Promise Zone, formed a team of partners to participate in the Pikeville Innovation Challenge. Sandy Curd, the Promise Zone coordinator for the Kentucky Highlands Investment Corporation, spoke with us to describe their focus on laying the necessary infrastructure to enable their economic diversification goals.
One of the things that we're seeing is that opportunity that's presenting itself, and one that we wanted to take advantage of when we put together our NACO team for the challenge, was how could we use this broadband, high-capacity middle mile that's going to be coming to our area as early as spring of next year. And one of the beautiful things that broadband offers for us is that if you live in the area and you plug in to the broadband, the high capacity, you could be in one place editing films for Steven Spielberg, in another place managing the inventory for U-Haul, and in another place you could be working doing medical billing and coding. And all three of those industries, entertainment, transportation, and healthcare, will not be going up and down in the same peak and valley that we have right now with all of our energies being tied into the coal industry. The work that's been going on in the broadband is continuous and non-stopping. Harlan won't see broadband until 2017, but until then, we've been busy in trying to establish all of our counties that are in eastern Kentucky to prepare themselves as governments on how they're going to be able to deal with the middle mile when it arrives. What we realized by the end of this was that we needed to back up even more, and that was that the county needed to develop an infrastructure. By that I mean a committee-wide infrastructure that was empowered to be able to move forward. By that I mean they needed an economic development authority that was empowered and able to look at these types of issues, and they needed a tourism commission. And that before we began trying to plant new ideas in healthcare and broadband in the area, we first needed to be able to create a government that would allow us to be able to work smoothly through those. I'm very pleased to say that Harlan County's Judge Executive Dan Mosley has done that. He has established an economic development authority. He has put together the resolutions and ordinances that allow for a tourism organization. One of the biggest thing, though, I think, that came out of ours was that, one, we can impact our own destiny. Two, we don't have to wait for somebody to come and save us. Three, you need to take advantage of every opportunity that comes to you, and it's going to be little projects like boat ramps into the Kentucky River, and it's going to be big projects like broadband super center teleworks. And I go and celebrate our victories and try to keep everybody still charging ahead.
Though their situations and challenges may differ from those of Appalachia, the economies of many communities in the Intermountain West have long relied on natural resource extraction as well.
So we're lucky in one sense because we are looking at this from a proactive standpoint concerning our reliance upon coal.
That's Caitlin Cook, the Economic Development Director for Rio Blanco County, Colorado. Rio Blanco County's team of partners attended the Innovation Challenge in Grand Junction, Colorado, which consisted mostly of Western communities and was more aligned to their specific issues. Rio Blanco County has begun implementing proactive plans to transition from a reliance on a cyclical resource extraction economy.
What we're really trying to do with this is, instead of the traditional peaks and valley economic model that we live and die by, we're trying to narrow that down towards a little bit more of the rolling hills. So you don't have the drastic ups and downs in your economic cycles. You have highs and lows, but they're not nearly as devastating when they hit the lows. If we are going to be experiencing a downturn in one of our natural resource extraction companies, we want those employees to have an opportunity to stay living in this county and use their skills for some other type of job that is a high-paying job that produces a livable wage and allows them to remain here. One of our first strategies was to create a community identity through branding, and we really need to focus on that marketing aspect of it, is what are we trying to sell, and whether that's from a tourism perspective or a business attraction perspective or even a resident attraction perspective, what is that message, what is that brand, who are we? So we've been developing a systematic approach to maximize our budgets and our resources that we have to put into this.
Similar to the efforts in Eastern Kentucky we heard earlier, Rio Blanco County has also begun to plan for utilization of broadband as a strategy.
We have a really cool thing happening in our communities, and we are going to be able to have a gig of internet service, broadband capabilities to every home and every business within the municipalities of the two towns that lie within our county, and then we'll be able to hit. It won't be exactly a gig of service, but it's going to be way better than what they ever dreamed that they would have in the rural unincorporated areas as well. And so that is a huge game changer for us. And we've been able to accomplish that about a year and a half, which is unheard of. And so it's a very cool model for other small communities, other rural communities to be able to possibly model. And then we're looking at programs to kind of help us with some of that strategic thinking on how we utilize it. Like the USDA and the EPA has a program out right now called Cooling Connected. And so looking at that, if that might be an option for us to get some technical assistance there.
Like in Wise County, Virginia, Rio Blanco County also sees partnering with their local community college, Colorado Northwestern Community College, as a critical piece of their plan.
So they have a couple of key token programs that are just incredible. And there's some real growth opportunity, primarily in the aviation school, and then also in the National Park Service training program that they have. And so in the aviation school, we're looking at how can we bump up the number of flight students, and maybe that's branching into international markets. And then also, how do we create maintenance, repair, and overhaul facility for airline mechanicking? Then the final strategy that we are working on is really enhancing the outdoor recreational opportunities in Rangeley. So there is a ton of recreational opportunities around, but without marketing it and without that branding component and without kind of the sales piece of it, a lot of people don't realize that what Moab was 20 years ago is what Rangeley is today. And so we can branch off of that and really develop the OHV trail systems for ATVs and side-by-sides and motorcycles. There's a fantastic reservoir there, and how do we fully leverage the White River that runs through town? How do we really maximize the mountain biking? There's a lot of different parts and pieces to this that just need to be comprehensively put together into a marketing package. So looking at that as well.
So, in the face of severe economic challenges and uncertainty, communities like these have seized opportunities and positioned themselves to diversify local economies through planning and developing unique and often asset or place-based strategies.
We know from past economic transitions, again, whether it's the steel industry or the automotive industry or the textile industry, you cannot replace lost jobs in one fell swoop. The most successful strategies for economic diversification, as I like to summarize and did at the Innovation Challenges, that you need to hit for singles, not for home runs. And that means you replace lost jobs one job at a time, two jobs at a time, five jobs at a time. If we want these communities to be thriving and successful places in the future, we need to go through this transition. We need to change from the past focus of these economies to a future focus that's based on talent, on asset-driven economic development strategies, and new ways of thinking about economic development and workforce development. So it's going to be a difficult transition, but there is a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
So through this program, we uncovered a number of creative ideas to expand economic development efforts in both rural and urban places, seeking to grow their economies based on place-based approaches and broad partnerships. And we find that these lessons apply to a number of types of sectors and geographies that are going through an economic transition. In recent years, we witnessed a number of really transformational breakthroughs, whether that is due to the impacts of the Great Recession, massive technology changes that reshape how we get around, how we work, changes in the energy sector, all of these things that influence local, regional, national, and global economies. So we see this work at NACO as really being just the tip of the iceberg in working with places whose economies are in transition, and how counties and their partners can leverage these opportunities to create great places and grow their economies.
In conjunction with these efforts, NACO and NATO have also launched a new web portal, diversifyeconomies.org. Be sure to check out this website for more details on the three Innovation Challenge workshops, in addition to a wide variety of publications, tools, funding opportunities, and other resources for any communities interested in transitioning and diversifying economies. All right, I think that's all the time we have today. We would like to give a big thanks to everyone for taking the time to join us on this podcast.